Hello and welcome back to the Fantasy Ramble by Energy Sport, the 42nd best FPL podcast in the land and the unofficial best student show. This is the show on Energy Sport that takes a look ahead at the upcoming game week in the Premier League while giving you insightful and thought out FPL tips for you to succeed in your mini leagues. Speaking of mini leagues, ours is still available to join. You'll slot in with your current points total, so there's no concern of starting from the bottom of the pack. Our league is joinable with the code DPPRDJ. Also, you can follow us over on Twitter at Fantasy Ramble, where we're going to be uploading our full game week predictions from our panel of hosts and writers. My name is Jack Dorling, and with me, as always, are some of Napier's finest FPL managers. First off, we've got Mr. Struan Garvey, who is in a pretty good mood after he's just managed to secure a fairly lucrative item. Struan, would you like to reveal your big news?
As much as I'd love to say I've signed a professional contract with Hibernian, it's not actually. I secured a PlayStation 5 today, though, so that's good. It's been multiple hours in the last 2 months in queues, but we finally got it today, so happy days.
It's good, because you started looking the same day as me.
Yep.
But I got...
a month now, at least.
I had 100% conversion rate. With PS5 queues, I secured me in the first time of action.
Been 0.0001 at this point, honestly. I'm just missing.
But all that matters is you've got one. You've got one at the end of the day. That's all that matters.
I did. I've made it. I think. I'm still like it's been that much of a tough ride. God, how sad do I sound right now? It's been that much of a tough ride that I'm still expecting some sort of cancel email, even though I've gotten the confirmation email. I'm just expecting something to say, "Oh, sorry, got the wrong thing."
Well, fingers crossed that doesn't happen. We've also got Mr. Jamie McIntosh on the panel today. How are you, my friend?
Very good. I'm highly excited for my trip to Kirkcaldy tonight to watch Hearts probably get beat, was my prediction that I made yesterday on the Football Roundup, and I stand by that today. So looking forward to that.
Looking forward to a loss is an odd thing to declare, but it's a trip to Starks Park. I mean, have you been at Starks Park often, Jamie?
Not for a long time. I've actually went and watched a Rafe game that didn't involve Hearts. I think Hearts had an international break like years ago, and I think it was Rafe and Falkirk that I went and watched once. And the Rovers won 1-0, I believe, so it was a long time ago now, though. I'm not actually sure I've been since, so nice old ground I look forward to going to. And when Hearts lose at the end, I can give a big boo to Robbie Nielsen at the end.
Just as he comes up to the press... our section to give his interview, you're just going to be booing him. That's what we're expecting tonight.
Yeah.
Lovely. Finally, making her first appearance on the show this season. I think one appearance in season one, and she's equaled that this season today. Miss Amy Canavan, good to have you. How's things?
Oh, you know, I'm just absolutely delighted to be here. Fantasy Premier League is just my absolute be-all and end-all, hence my large number of appearances on this absolutely terrific podcast. So, yeah, delighted to be here.
Well, you're more optimistic than Sean when he came on. He just came on and started waxing lyrical about his hatred for fantasy football.
I am not a fan. I'm just so bad at it. Like, in the first week, I try and get so committed, and I go, yep. And then I just forget, and then it's not until... I rely on news, right? So I wait until you put up your predictions, then I go, oh, there's a game week. And then you put up so late. So I actually blame you because I go by you. And it's probably about 10 minutes into the first fixture by the time you put up your predictions. So I'm like, oh,
yeah, that's fair. That is a very fair point. That does happen a lot. But that's...
Start thinking of other people, please.
Well, we try to, but that we're thinking of the viewers this week. I mean, or the listeners, this nobody views our podcast.
Graham or Raf, because they're always like the last ones to put them in, aren't they? So
Raf gets them in like second out of the lot, to be quite honest. It's always Graham.
Cause he's doing well.
Because I'll ask, like, and then Graham won't say, and then we'll get to the morning of. It's like Graham sends your predictions. He doesn't wake up till the lunchtime kickoffs usually. So... if you want to blame anyone, but no, we're treating our listeners well. They're getting two episodes this week because we're going to be back on Friday for the weekend fixtures. So, just pushing out quality content as everyone's come to expect from Energy Sport at this point, really.
Indeed.
Right, we're going to crack on. We're going to start talking about the first of our premium picks. These are the three biggest games that we view of the weekend, and I might switch up the formula because I'd had one written down, but I might swap it for one of the provisional wildcard options. So we'll come to that last while I try and think of notes for that in my head while we're going on. But the biggest game for me this week comes on Thursday night at 8 p.m. in North London as Spurs take on Liverpool. It was a good time for Spurs in the double game week. They only had the one fixture, but they won it 3-1 away at Sheffield United. Whereas Liverpool lost their unbeaten home record, I think 68 games they went unbeaten at Anfield. But Sean Dyche's Burnley went up, got a penalty late on, and converted it to see the Clarets run. What is that? Is it the Clarets? What is Burnley's nickname? Is that right?
The
Clarets. There we go. The Clarets run out as 1-0 winners, and Jurgen Klopp wasn't very happy about it, understandably. Spurs, Amy, as a Spurs fan yourself, it's you. You're unbeaten since Christmas. I just had a look. Like, you've not lost a game in the league since Christmas.
Correct.
Of course, also beating massive full-timers Marine. In the proceedings,
please
of,
highlight that. Please
yeah, absolutely.
That.
Gareth Bale playing to Thank somebody you. At their bedroom window.
Legend has it Vinicius is still celebrating that goal.
Oh, Vinicius is definitely still celebrating that goal. He's uploaded that to his eight alternative YouTube channels. This goal's a goal at the end of the day. Liverpool are on a pretty grim run in comparison. They've lost the last two games in all competitions, and it's just been a stuttering start to life in 2021 for Jurgen Klopp's Reds. Given it's Spurs, is this all set up for Liverpool to get back on top? Or not back on
Absolutely.
Top in terms of the league, but just, in terms of...
Oh, yeah. I said that to you earlier. The goal drought will end. Everything will end against Spurs. Spurs will Spurs it. Don't care how good the run is. I have absolutely zero faith.
You sound like me from like the last 3 weeks. Me and Jamie are the last 3 weeks when Lampard was still in charge. Just had absolutely
so
no
I'm
faith.
Trying a little bit of reverse psychology, but it's not very reversed. So I generally do not see Spurs coming away with a win. Like, I really don't. I think Liverpool just, I can just see them hitting into gear. And like I said, I can just really see them just sort of running away and getting that drought over with. I am loving Ndombele right now. He is my man. He is my guy, but I don't see Spurs walking away with a win. No,
even without Liverpool having no fit senior centre backs.
I know. I think we should jump on Graham's bandwagon and start up a GoFundMe page or whatever. But
I'm not giving them any money.
Struan definitely won't. But I think I almost think it'll sort of be like too much pressure on Kane and Son that they've not got a recognised centre half or fit centre halves, and I can see that. I can honestly see Spurs bottling it. Like, I can really, really see them Hibs in it. So
I mean I kinda have to come to Struan now for the Hibs in it comment. Struan, do you potentially see this just being a very low scoring game? Do you think Mourinho will set up for a very defensive minded performance and hope to capitalise with Harry Kane and Heung-Min Son on the break, as he's done for successfully in the Premier League for many years at this point?
Yeah, I think it's one of those fixtures you could maybe say is tailor-made for Jose. You know, Liverpool aren't in great form at the moment, and you can just imagine very defensive, soaking up all the pressure, because what was exposed in the FA Cup and in multiple games from Liverpool is that on the break, that defence is very, very weak. And I think with players like Heung-Min Son, Harry Kane, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Gareth Bale in this one. We saw in the last one, Stevie Bergwijn, I think, had two really good chances and fluffed both of them. So I wouldn't, and Bale playing against Wickham, I wouldn't be surprised if Jose does play. And this is the sort of game that, you know, could be the reason why Gareth Bale came in. So I think just set up very defensively, and I agree that Ndombele has been very, very good recently. But yeah, I think Tottenham will win this one. I'd actually back Tottenham to win this, because I think Salah will probably be doubled up on. And I think there's not really much of another goal threat at the moment. Firmino and Mane have been a bit quiet, so I expect it to go that way. I don't know if Shaqiri will play. Diogo Jota's definitely out. So I could definitely see this one being one for Jose. And then obviously it's going to be the classic at the end of it, isn't it? You know, however he's going to celebrate it. Because I think Spurs probably should have won the previous fixture in the 2-1 earlier in the season.
Correct.
I don't think you'd have any arguments from Amy about that statement. Jamie, you've already said that Liverpool don't really have many fit defenders at the moment, but in terms of fantasy, is it worth having Liverpool players in just now in the middle of this slump? Because we've already Amy already mentioned, there's been a goal drought in the league, and they're clearly not keeping clean sheets at the moment. So is it potentially a bit of a better idea to move the premium amount of money you'd be spending on Liverpool assets elsewhere and kind of balance out the rest of your team just now? Or are we sticking with them and seeing the best of them come a resurgence?
Probably better using them elsewhere, using the funds elsewhere. The problem with Liverpool players is they're all very expensive, even your kind of centre mids and that. The one player I do quite like the look of is Gini Wijnaldum. I think he could be quite a good investment for your team. He started playing quite far forward in midfield. He's the one player that I would maybe recommend for you. But other than that, I'm not sure they're too... what's the word? Too enticing at the moment. I can't say I'm drawn to many. I've got Mohamed Salah on my team, but that's because I had to take out Kevin De Bruyne this transfer, and I don't really want to take a point set. I do fancy Liverpool to win this game, however. I'm just not sure really where the goals would necessarily come from.
That is a point of concern for Liverpool at the moment, because Firmino has had his doubters and his critics for months at this point, and it still goes on. But it's been a while since he's scored. Salah's kind of been the only player. He got both goals in the 3-2 loss to Man United at the weekend in the FA Cup. And Manny's just kind of faded away a little bit. Like, he's still a fantastic player, but he's just not really had the same impact this season. With that in mind, what are we saying for score predictions here? Jamie's going for a Liverpool win. But by what scoreline?
I'm going to say 2-0. 2-0 Liverpool.
Oh, 2-0. It's a big claim. It's a very big claim.
No, it is. It is. You're right. I just think it'll be one of those games for Spurs where they might actually play quite well, but it'll just be like, it just won't be their night, because it's Monday night, isn't it? It won't be their night, and Liverpool will be quite clinical, I think, this time around, and Spurs will miss plenty of chances, and Liverpool will win the game by 2-0.
2-0. Lovely. Amy Canavan, how do you see this going?
I do see this going similarly to Jamie. I see a Liverpool win, of course. I would go 2-1. I do reckon Spurs, I reckon they'll score. That's maybe just me trying to give a little bit of hope. As we can tell by my tone, I am extremely optimistic about this. I'll go 2-1 Liverpool.
2-1 Liverpool. Struan and Garvey, how is this game going to end?
I'll go 2-0 Spurs.
No. Why did you say 2-0 Spurs?
I just think this is going to be one of those ones that Jose sets up for, to be honest. Liverpool aren't in the best of form. It might depend if Matip is playing. I think if it is Reece Williams and Fabinho again, I think they'll be they'll just be exposed on the counter-attack. I think Son and Kane will be too much for them, especially when Robertson's going to try and shout in their ear again to put somebody off, perhaps. But I think Tottenham will have too much for them in this game. It's just prediction, though. I mean, I've not been too impressed with Thiago in the recent games either, and it might be that game that Liverpool spark back into form, but at the moment, I just think it's going to be one of these Jose classics.
That is a big shout.
It's a big shout. That's the wrong podcast for this.
Wrong podcast, yeah.
Goodness sake. Correct. It would be the Rosie Posey partner to give her colleague a shout out on this podcast, wouldn't it?
Shut up, just mention him. Okay, he just overshadows everything I do. I can't go on anything without getting mentioned.
Talking about him like he's Lord Voldemort, he who must not be named at this point, honestly.
He's just everywhere. He just sort of like hangs over me. Oh.
Amy, are you okay?
I can't do anything off my own back. Just has to be Sean this, Sean that. Oh. Have you seen the size of his head? He does not need this.
I didn't expect this today. This is good. This could be a chance for me to get my own bag. He titled one episode of Extra Time After Me, so this might be my chance to get him back. Just Sean McGill slander.
You know he'll listen to this, right? And I'll get a message going, oh, look at you, trying to act all big with all your third-year friends. And then you'll come crying back to me, because that's what he'll say. I can guarantee it. He'll go bitter and sad.
I'd put money on it, to be honest. I'd take those odds. As for this,
the title for this episode is going to be "Have you seen the size of his head?"
I like that. It leaves the listener thinking, "Oh, whose head are we talking
what
about here?
Are we talking about?" It's not Sean, right?
I hadn't planned on mentioning Man United, but there we go.
We are talking Harry Maguire, and that's not a dig at me, right?
Yeah, no, yeah, it's Maguire, not you. You think you've got a big head? I don't think you've got a big head.
No, I thought it was just going to be big-headed or something like that.
No.
I was just making sure.
Well, yeah, you're fine. 1-1. I'm going a Macintosh special for this game. 1-1. I don't think it'll be massively interesting, to be honest. I could see it'll be kind of classic Big Six class this season, or well, earlier season, because the ones in the new year have been quite good. I see this just 1-1. Liverpool are just a wee bit bitty at the moment, and Mourinho will probably want to capitalise on that, but they probably will sneak a goal, so 1-1. And I would back, who's going to be a key player in this? I'll take Amy's shot on this. I think Ndombele is going to have a good game.
Wijnaldum, I'll say. And we've got differing predictions all across the board then, because me and Amy have gone Liverpool, one with both teams to score and one win to nil. Struan's gone with Spurs winning, you've gone with a draw, so all wet. Nobody knows how this is going to go.
Yeah, we've really given none of our listeners any confidence. One of us might be right, we never know. We'll move on and talk about the second of our premium picks for this week, and with yesterday's news breaking, it was almost inevitable that you would end up talking about Chelsea, considering there may well be a new manager in charge for their game against Wolves tomorrow night. Playing at home at 6 p.m. last game in the Premier League was a 2-0 loss away at Leicester for Chelsea, and Wolves actually were the losers in the Black County Derby at home to West Brom, in which Mateus Pereira converted two penalties. So Jamie, the first time we'll see Chelsea without Frank Lampard in 18 months, and there's no guarantee whether Thomas Tuchel will be on the sideline. He's at the time of recording at 10 past 2 on Tuesday. He's not actually been announced as the manager. Who do we think he'll kind of reside with in terms of his team selection? I mean, will he still play the likes of Mason Mount potentially, and Reece James, or is he going to kind of sit with his old heads? He's going to perhaps integrate Mateo Kovacic and Azpilicueta back into the team. Marcus Alonso might make an appearance. Who knows?
I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. So obviously Frank Lampard was relieved of his duties. Has like Jody Morris and that gone with him?
Jody's gone. Joe Edwards is staying, but Jody's away.
Right. Because I would expect kind of if there was anybody kind of still there, if they're not, I wasn't sure how many of the coaching staff that they've got rid of, that they would maybe Tuchel might confide in somebody that's been there through the Lampard era and ask for some advice for the kind of first game, because obviously he's not really had a training session of that with him yet, so I don't know. He might just play with the team that played at the weekend. I don't know. Who knows?
And I'm interested to see how it lines up. It's not exactly ideal for fantasy managers to have to deal with a potential upheaval at Chelsea in terms of who's going to play week in, week out. But Struan, would there be anyone that you would kind of highlight in Chelsea's team to be a guaranteed starter in this game against Wolves?
Yeah,
fair enough.
Probably Mendy, I think, has to be a guaranteed starter in this one. Do you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if this is one of those games where all the players who've received a lot of criticism, like your Timo Werners and like your Kai Havertz, will just step up, and it's going to be one of them where they're going to prove to everybody that they are good type situations, if you know what I mean. There's going to be like the manager bounce, and all of a sudden it's going to be these players who were just sort of shying away and not doing anything under Lampard are now all of a sudden going to break out. You know, Pulisic will probably score 3 or 4 or something like that. What I think personally should happen is I think Abraham should start.
I think he deserves a start.
He's probably my favourite Chelsea player. I think he's very good. He's got a hat-trick at the weekend as well, so I think it would only be fair he wins, and I think he wants some physical presence in amongst that Wolves probable back three. So yeah, I'd maybe risk an Abraham.
Although with a physical presence against Wolves, would you not kind of automatically assume Olivier Giroud for that role?
Well, I was about to say he doesn't often play, but now Lampard's gone, it might actually be the chance. That's a very good point. You could play two of them. You could completely change up the system and play both of them together.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Nobody knows. It's a bit difficult to speculate.
Ziyech will start. There we go. That'll be someone who'll definitely start.
Fair enough. That's a shout there. Amy, Wolves have kind of been up and down like they're on a trampoline at the moment. Like they're good one week, bad another week. They've not been keeping clean sheets since October or November, I don't think, the last time they kept a clean sheet in the league. How do we see them approaching this game? Because are they going to come into it with a bit of trepidation at the thought of facing a different Chelsea to the one they beat in December? Or are they just going to come in and say, look, just let's kick them while they're down. They've just got rid of a club legend at the helm. Let's just pile on the heart that some of the fans might be feeling from it.
Yeah, I'd definitely go with the latter. There's no need for trepidation. It will obviously come to terms... Sorry, it'll come down to, obviously, like you say, if Tuchel's in charge yet or not, because that will definitely, like you say, it'll dictate the starting lineup. I think if he comes in, I think as the boys have said, it'll be, you can see Ziyech starting I can actually probably even see Werner starting if he comes in. But yeah, I think if it's not him, then you do see the likes of maybe Hudson-Odoi and Abraham, as Drew said, rightfully deserves, I think, to be starting as well. But no, Wolves have just got to... I don't know what's not ticking right for Wolves this year. Like, I really don't. Obviously, Jimenez is a massive miss, and that has been proven. But their midfield is still so strong. You look at that, and there's not many teams that you'd be thinking, like, obviously at that level, you'd be thinking, wow, they would, like, the likes of Neves, Moutinho, then Donker, you'd be thinking, could they be getting a start for anyone? So, I don't know. I really don't know what's clicking, what's not clicking, sorry. But, yeah, quite fancy Wolves, actually.
I don't know what to make of this game. I've always tried to be a bit more positive about Chelsea on it on podcasts whenever I can, but I'm just uncertain at this point. I'll watch the game, but I'll just kind of go into it a bit blind. Like, I'm not really going to make any bold predictions. Do I want to say we'll win? Maybe, because I'll probably back a draw again. I might back another 1-1. I'm turning into Jamie McIntosh on this podcast, honestly. That's 2 1-0s for me in a row. Yeah, to be honest, I just don't really know how quickly players will kind of up performance levels. If confidence is still low, that's not going to be helped by the manager getting sacked, to be honest, because that's down to the players in terms of confidence rather than the manager, because Lampard going isn't going to turn Timo Werner instantly into a lethal finisher again.
Do you not think so?
I don't think so, to be honest. I think...
Could be up for debate, that.
It very well could be up for debate, but I mean, you saw him take a penalty on against Luton, and you think, oh well, that it's Timo Werner, he's stepping up to take a penalty. Your manager could be anyone. It could be anyone from Dick Campbell to Pep Guardiola. You've got a penalty, that's down to the player alone, and Werner, who's usually lethal from anywhere in the box, puts in one of the worst penalties he could have. So I think his confidence is down to himself at this point. Hopefully.
I'll throw a question at you two Chelsea fans.
Go on then.
If Timo Werner and Kai Havertz were to suddenly turn it around under Thomas Tuchel, would you say, okay, maybe it was Lampard was the problem, or would you be more angry at Werner and Havertz for now all of a sudden turning up when they clearly haven't earlier on? Because I feel there'll be quite a narrative pushed about it being the managers the difference.
Oh, absolutely. So I'd absolutely
personally say, I think more to do with the players, why are they all of a sudden turning up now situation?
Yeah, players, definitely.
Yeah, would you go players?
Yeah, you see it quite a lot, you know, like, look, the players have so much power at a football club, and it's always, when the players aren't performing, it's always the manager that pays the price for that, and, you know, suddenly, okay, you get a new manager bounce, you know, it's a term now, new manager bounce, you know exactly what it means, everybody knows what it means, because we see it quite a lot now, so, yeah, I think I would certainly be pretty pissed off. Well, I wouldn't be pissed off, but I would be questioning the players' integrity under Lampard if they suddenly start banging in loads of goals. If Werner and Havertz scored 6 goals each or something tomorrow night, it'd be something's up.
I would question it a lot. I wouldn't be unhappy at the fact that contributing going forward, but I would kind of question it. It's exactly what you said, Jamie. Start questioning the integrity a wee bit, just throwing the toys at the pram and not performing just because he didn't get on with the manager.
Yeah.
I don't know, Struan. I could kind of see it going both ways. I mean, maybe it's a bit of neither. Like, maybe they just were having a rough time under Lampard and he was helping them as much as they could. But then they just needed someone a wee bit more kind of familiar in terms of having worked in Germany. Like, someone like Thomas Tuchel coming in and being able to communicate a bit more openly with them and kind of herd them through the rough times and kind of get them back to their best. It could go either way, but you're absolutely right. It will push a narrative. But I'll go 1-1 just because I'm unsure of what the hell Chelsea are going to do tomorrow. What's everyone else thinking? Amy, how many goals are Wolves going to win this by?
2-1. That's
Wolves
what
to score
like.
Two goals.
Wolves to score. Jamie, I know.
Struan absolutely hates Wolves.
Yes, I do know that. Yes. I am going. Yeah, I'm sticking 2-1.
I think they're a new striker up front from Sociedad might have a part to play. I think that's a very, very decent Raul Jimenez replacement, to be honest. William Jose from Sociedad.
Yeah.
Very like for like, a nice strong presence in the box who's good in the air.
I forgot about him, actually.
That's going to be fun against Andreas Christensen.
I forgot all about that signing, actually. That could be really interesting to see how that pans out over the next few weeks, because obviously Wolves have been struggling for goals in the absence of him, and so it's big boots to come in and fill, obviously. But yeah, he certainly has got a half decent track record actually from his time in La Liga. I'll go 1-0 Chelsea. I don't know who's going to score, but I'm going to narrow it down. I've narrowed it down to two, and it's either of the German frauds to score. One of those
two. The path to redemption starts here. I love how that you just flowed into that. It's like, oh, he's had a very, very good track record in La Liga. I think that he's got big shoes to fill, but I think he'll be all right. I'm going to go 1-0 for Chelsea.
Well, he might not even start, you know.
He might need
a bit of time to get his to settle, you know. As we know, players don't just come in and...
We know more than most this season, Jamie. Struan, how do you see this going? You're typically positive about Chelsea in any aspect that we've ever kind of done predictions for.
That's because I'm stuck with Timo Werner in my fantasy team, who I have captained this week.
Oh my
Chelsea.
God!
Because no, Chelsea not. Are going to win 3-0 because manager bounce. They're going to turn on Frank Lampard and they're going to dominate Wolves because Wolves are Wolves.
Hate Wolves.
We shouldn't have ever asked Struan for a prediction about this game.
No, I need to make this clear. I don't dislike Wolves.
You do. I'm not letting you have this. You dislike Wolves.
It's the same issue, sort of, to Burnley, and it's just such boring football to watch. I remember
Wolves to Burnley. Fucking hell, that's a
thing. I mean, Wolves.
That's an indictment on Wolves.
The same kind of place. Though. They play for a draw.
They got into Europe last season.
That's a joke. You can't. Yeah. Oh my god. Nah, I'm not.
Struan, have you just compared the Dama Traore to Aaron Lennon?
Yeah, I swear I was thinking.
I'd have Dwight McNeil any day over a Dama Traore. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah. I would quite like to see Dwight McNeil actually in a better team than Burnley. Or a more.
I like him.
A team that maybe plays his strengths a little more than Burnley do, perhaps.
A more attacking. No, that's. I was going to try and say something, but that doesn't work.
I think Ben, me and Tarkowski are the best centre-back partnership in the league. And by that, I just mean the two who work the best together. I mean, Stones and Diaz
are
probably...
Can we check on Struan? Struan,
okay. Are you all right, mate?
Yeah, I'm absolutely fine. I think it was it Jamie who pointed out that Wolves hadn't had a clean sheet since
October?
Can we get him some jelly tots? November?
No, he doesn't know what they are, anyway.
Because they beat Charlie 1-0, so I think that's maybe their...
Oh, for God's sake!
Might have been in the league, but yeah, sorry. I'm getting a topic. No, I backed Chelsea.
It was at Crystal Palace game, Wolves kept a clean sheet. I think that was maybe their last league clean sheet. They won 2-0 or something, and it was like November or end of October, end of November.
But yeah, I back Chelsea to win this. I think there will be quite a manager bounce. I don't actually know who'll take it if Thomas Tuchel isn't there, if Morris isn't there either. So
it'd probably be someone like Joe Edwards, who was kind of in amongst that group of management. So I don't know.
I think it'd be interesting. I just want to see what sort of system Chelsea set up in under Tuchel now, because he's played with the likes of Pulisic and Thiago Silva in the past. He wanted Antonio Rudiger at PSG. He got announced today by Christian Falk, so that's quite interesting. Hopefully it doesn't mean the end of Zuma and maybe the reason Tomori left, but I think it will be interesting.
We just want Kurt Zuma to stay at the club forever. Absolute icon, hero of a man.
See, if you stuck him up front, would he score any fewer goals than Timo Werner this season? If he had played in Timo Werner's position this season, would he have scored any less than Timo Werner?
You get a look at Kurt Zouma and you go, he's a bit of a hammer thrower as a striker, but you saw his run against Ajax last season, so I mean...
The amount of crosses that came in from the fullbacks and everything under Lampard, I reckon Zouma would have been far more effective up front, I think. Anyway, that's a topic for another day.
Right, let's talk about
Chelsea, Timo Werner, the man of the match.
There you go. The last of our premium picks is, it was going to be Southampton versus Arsenal, but my arm was twisted by my panel today in pre-recording, and we're going to be instead talking more in depth about Everton versus Leicester. This is Everton's first game since game week 19. They didn't have a game at all in the double game week. I think theirs got postponed because of the big C, the big COVID, the standard excuse for games not playing out at the moment. Leicester, two very good results, 2-0 home wins, and now they travel away to Goodison Park on Wednesday night. How do we see Everton coming into this one, Struan? I mean, they've not played in kind of a couple of weeks at this point, so do you think they'll be a bit rusty, or do you think it's kind of been the best opportunity for the squad to kind of reset, recover, and kind of reattack this season? They're sitting in sixth just now. I think a win here would take them above Liverpool, potentially.
I think I might be more excited for this game than I am for the Tottenham-Liverpool game, in the sense that I think this will be a far more entertaining game to watch. I think both teams will probably go at it. Leicester are just such an enjoyable team to watch at the moment as well. And James Rodriguez and Dominic Calvert-Lewin are both fit, which is great news for Everton, I'm sure. I think Luka Dini is also back, so they've got a lot more creativity in that team. And I think they'll be up for it. I think there's a very good chance for Everton to get a high finish this season. They've got a really good, like, Ancelotti has made Yerry Mina and Michael Keane a good defence this season, and I think that in itself is incredible, to be perfectly honest. So I think they'll be up for this one, and I think it'll just be a really enjoyable game, to be honest. But yeah, I think Everton will go for this one and not play too defensively, especially now they've got the firepower back.
No, absolutely. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, he's the way I wrote about him in the alternative Premier League team the season so far article. Go and read it if you haven't already. I'll just plug myself whenever possible. Just so vain. Just love the numbers, me. Amy, do you think his return is just going to give Everton a potential edge in this match, especially when his opposite number in this game, Jamie Vardy, is going to be out injured for this fixture?
No. I watched a little bit of Everton the other night against Sheffield Wednesday in the Cup, and I'm not saying it in the way that, like, obviously having Calvert-Lewin back is massive. I just don't think that's enough for them to beat Leicester, if I'm honest. He looked pretty much back to his best quite quick the other night. I thought Hamish Rodriguez was outstanding. Sheffield Wednesday did give them a good run in the first half, like they really did, and that's why I'm saying I don't think just having Calvert-Lewin back is going to be enough to beat Leicester, because it pains me to say it, but I do really enjoy watching Leicester right now.
Why does it pain you to say it, Amy?
I don't look at the bench, I don't look at the management square, the bench, I don't look over there, I just don't look, I don't want to see. I just focus on the pitch. So yeah, I think Leicester on a really good run right now. I'm really loving James Maddison. I don't see Leicester losing. I definitely don't see Leicester losing this one. Having Calvert-Lewin back is great. Probably could get on the score sheet because he did look up for it the other night. But yeah, I'm going to Leicester win here.
Jamie, just moving on to Leicester, how do you kind of rank them in terms of title contenders this season? Because they've kind of come out the woodwork a wee bit, and they were top for, I think, a few hours after they beat Chelsea in their second fixture in the double game week. Losing Vardy is going to be massive, obviously, but I think it's only for 3 or 4 weeks, so that might only be 3 or 4 games, realistically. Win this and they're really back in amongst the conversation, especially if Liverpool do slip up again, and, well, the Manchester clubs probably aren't going to slip up this week against West Brom and Sheffield United, respectively. What do you make of Leicester just now? I mean, are you, obviously they deserve to be where they are, but aside from Vardy, they just kind of look to be a bit more of a complete team this season.
You know, we've seen in the past that they maybe do rely on him a bit much sometimes. I watched the FA Cup game at the weekend against Brentford, and they did really well, and they came from behind, obviously, and were really good in the second half. They created a lot of chances, actually. It was Brentford rested a few players, but they had Perez was playing kind of through the middle, and they had Under and Maddison and Barnes and that as well. It's just a really exciting team to watch, to be perfectly honest. The defence was not great at the weekend, and To be honest with you, I've not really been that impressed with Leicester's defence this season, really. They've conceded 21 goals in the league this season in the 19 games, which is, you know, a goal less than Liverpool. But, you know, that City defence is really stealing all the plaudits at the moment, and rightly so, because as far as the teams in the kind of top half is concerned, Man City's defence is the best record by a long distance, really. So, yeah, they absolutely deserve to be where they are. Obviously, last season we kind of saw a bit of a collapse of Leicester towards the end of the season. But I think Brendan Rodgers is doing really well with the kind of the squad that he's got. And I can't quite decide how I think this one's going to go. I think it should be a pretty good game for the neutrals, to be honest. Hopefully it is. And I think this looks like the perfect opportunity for me to come out with my favourite prediction and go 1-1.
There it is. I had to come out at some point today, especially because I've made reference to it that many times.
Yeah.
No, I do agree. I think it's going to be a good entertaining game for us to watch. I still think Leicester will edge it, to be honest. I think the team itself is just in decent enough form that the loss of Vardy isn't going to be as impactful as it would have been in seasons prior. I'm going to go 2-1 for Leicester. I think that's a fairly reasonable scoreline for a game like this. I'm agreeing with what Amy said. I think Calvert-Lewin could get on the score sheet. Would back Madison and Barnes potentially to get the goals for Leicester, although Under did score at the weekend, so he may well be in contention for a start. Yeah, no, I'll back the Foxes. It'd be nice to see them win the league again. That'd be some story kind of coming out that would work at the start of the year and having the best 2021 that they could have. Struan, how's this one going to play out, mate?
I didn't actually know Ben Yedder was injured, so I did have him as my key man for this match. But I'm going to go for a 2-2. I think could be quite an interesting end-to-end game, but at the same time, it could easily be one of these 0-0 performances.
Yeah, very true. Amy, how about yourself?
I'm looking forward to the game.
I'm just going to be such a basic bitch and go 2-1 for all games. So I'm going to go 2-1 Leicester.
2-1's up.
At a push, 3-1.
What's going to be the differentiating factor to them getting 3 instead of 2?
James Maddison free kick.
Fair enough. Aye, just moment of class from the playmaker.
Correct.
Right, that kind of does it for premium picks this week. We're going to move on to wildcard options. This is where we talk about three games that we didn't feel had enough to have a full kind of analysis of, but still held a wee bit of weight to at least be mentioned. We'll talk about Arsenal versus Southampton. Arsenal, I should say, as that was the game that I'd originally planned for premium picks, but I was out-muscled and outnumbered by my three friends here today. Struan, I picked this game because we kind of almost got a wee bit of a teaser trailer for it at the weekend in the FA Cup, where Southampton knocked Arsenal out of what can be argued as their competition, considering how prolific they've been in the FA Cup over the years. So how do we see a fairly similar approach to this game from both teams, or is Arteta going to change things up to make sure they don't make the same mistakes they did against Southampton at the weekend?
I think it will be a much stronger Arsenal side, but in all honesty, I think looking at that Arsenal team on paper at the weekend, there was enough there to beat Southampton. I think it's almost quite funny now how that's the weaker side, and the better side, you're taking out Pepe for Saka, you're taking out Willian for Emile Smith-Rowe. I just think it's quite funny that you're bringing in these youngsters for your big instead of the big money signings as the better team. But I do think Arsenal will be better in this game. Southampton are going to be missing Kyle Walker-Peters and Brian Bertrand as well, who've been the first choice fullbacks. I think Vestergaard's also out in this one, so I think it will be a bit more comfortable for Arsenal. I think Lacazette will play as well, and Eddie Nketiah had a pretty poor game, to be perfectly honest. But I think Thomas Partey will probably be in from the off, so I would expect an Arsenal win this game. I think they need to as well.
Sorry, who's alive for Southampton? Who did you all just list there?
Vestergaard, I think, is still out. Kyle Walker-Peters and Brian Bertrand are all out. The two fullbacks are definitely out. Yeah.
Oh, didn't know that.
What happened to them?
I'm not quite sure, actually. I just saw the official account tweet out saying they'll both be missing, but they did both play at the weekend, so they must have picked up a knock or something. It's a strange
one.
It could be any amount. Well,
I don't know. One of them might have picked up too many yellow cards. I think Bertrand might actually be, to be fair. Who's been linked with a move to Arsenal, which is something else. But
stay away. Let Kieran Tierney play.
I don't know. Yeah, you can see how badly he's missed in that Arsenal team, by the way. When I watched the FA Cup game at the weekend, and just they're just not the same side without Saka and Tierney.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is quite crazy how much of an impact a left back can make. But. I think looking back on it, it's almost as if Arteta prioritised the league game based on the two lineups. But Southampton also had a few changes to make, so yeah, it should be an interesting game, I hope. And I hope Danny Ings scores, because I like Danny Ings.
I just want to raise something before we move on, because you mentioned his name in your spiel there, and I don't think we talked about it on a podcast like recently, but we've talked about it enough in our group chats. Willian.
He is terrible. Oh my.
Worst signing of the summer window?
How bad must you be if you are a free signing and people are calling you the worst signing of the season? How do you pull that off when Kai Havertz, who cost 72 million, is underperforming as well, and yet Willian is still considered the worst signing? Was it 55 staff members were sacked, and then 3 days later Willian was announced?
And he's done nothing.
I think he's had 2 shots on target. Like,
oh, that's gone up recently then.
I think he might have one at the weekend, you know.
Oh, wow.
He's just not very good. Like, I know this is a really bad patch for Arsenal, and there are very few players who are performing, so it's maybe a bit unfair to just scapegoat him. But he's just not looking good. And neither is Pepe. I think Pepe should probably come under just as much criticism as Willian. There's a moment at the end of the game where Arsenal had a good free kick for a left footer, and Pepe just blasted it over the bar, and you just sort of thought, you know, like, that's your moment to be stand up and counted. And then you look at the league games and you see Smith Rowe, as I mentioned earlier, and Bukayo Saka, the two youngsters come to the academy who just look miles better than them. You just sort of wonder what's going on there then. I'm sure as Chelsea fans, you guys must be enjoying seeing them see Willian at Arsenal now.
Very pleasing, I have to be said. Jamie, I don't know what you think about it.
Yeah, no, I despised them for a long time when he was at Chelsea, actually, to be perfectly honest. And it was funny because he had a very good debut. And if I remember rightly, and Arsenal fans were all kind of thinking, oh, yeah, fucking what a brilliant signing and that. Why on earth did you get rid of him? Now they just absolutely hate him. It's like, yeah, of course. Like, did you really think Chelsea were going to sell you as a. They never even sold him, they just gave him to him. Just, yeah. just take him, just go.
I don't think Chelsea were even involved. In that. There's a famous AFTV quote, well, not famous, but there's AFTV quote as well, where the guy says that Willian's better than Ziyech, and it's like, oh no.
Very pleasing. See,
I'll be honest, I thought it was a good signing on paper. I thought, you know, experienced Premier League winner, on a winger and a winner, on a free, you know, Arsenal don't have that many good experienced players in the team, but, oh.
How wrong you were.
How we were wrong.
How we were wrong. How Mikel was wrong.
Another wildcard option that we've got to talk about. West Ham United are playing away to Palace in a bit of a London derby. West Ham are looking very good. Very, very good recently. That's, I think, they're on a wee bit of a mini unbeaten run, Jamie. They're looking solid. Antonio's looking to be the main man in form, or one of the main men in form in the league at the moment. Cresswell's been fantastic. Koufal's been excellent. Everyone knows the league's opinion on Thomas Suchet, not just West Ham fans on us here. Just it's an odd thing to see a West Ham team with a good vibe around it, isn't it?
Yeah, they're in brilliant form, and you know they're going back to Halloween. They've only lost three games, and they've been against Man United, Liverpool, and Chelsea. So you know they're on a very good run of form. They've had a few draws in there, but on the whole, very, very good team to watch right now. I think they've added quite a lot of like actual talent to their team. Guys like Benrahma, Jared Bowen, I think, has received a lot of plaudits this season. I'm not going to say Fornals because everybody knows my opinion on him. I think Benrahma's kind of struggled to hit the ground running, to be honest, as well, and the West Ham are still kind of getting results. So I think there's a lot more to come from this West Ham team. And the defence has been relatively solid as well. I've got Aaron Cresswell in my team. I know Raf actually captained him for the double game week, and it was okay. He was unfortunate not to get the clean sheet against West Brom, but still got the clean sheet against Burnley. And I think he got an assist. Did he get an assist? I think he got an assist in one of the games as well. So Certainly a player that I would recommend for fantasy. I've got Antonio in as well. Obviously, he's scored in the last two league games as well. And they've had a couple of good wins in the FA Cup as well. So plenty of positives around the London Stadium right now. I do think this will be a tough game. Palace are such a plucky, horrible team to play against. And I could see this being a draw, to be perfectly honest. I'd like to see West Ham win it just because I've got a few players in fantasy, obviously, but I could see Palace getting a draw because every time I back Palace to do something, they seem to get gubbed, and whenever I back them to get gubbed, they seem to do something. So,
well, I'm hoping West Ham win because otherwise I've just thrown away a tenner effectively.
Yeah, it's a bold shout, I have to say. I think that's a bold pick.
I don't know. I just think Palace aren't the best at the moment. Like, they've kind of, their form from the start of the season has kind of escaped them, and I think West Ham's current run and just the way they're playing at the moment, I think they'll just really do a number on Palace. I don't know why. I just had a bit of a gut feeling, and I'm trying to trust my gut feelings a bit more, even if they're wrong, because then I'm backing myself. Finally, in this wee section, we're going to, Amy, I'm just going to briefly talk to you about a bit of a relegation clash between Brighton and Fulham. I think based
why
on...
Why have you came with me on the most boring game? Oh my God.
I don't know.
Are you joking?
I don't know. I'm sorry. It was there, and I had to fantastic. Speak to somebody about it.
Oh, God save us. Right.
Jeez, I don't know, for me, based on kind of recent form, like, both these teams are tipped to be very near the bottom, dancing around the final relegation place. Who would you kind of back to go down at this current moment in time of the two? Because I would almost kind of say Fulham were more likely to survive based on recent performances.
Yeah, going performance wise, I really like Fulham. I absolutely love Scott Parker. Have done since I was that was one of the first loves, I'll be honest. I absolutely loved him at Spurs. So yeah, I just want him to do well. I just really do. I just think he's just gonna be such a nice guy, you know. It's a tough one at Fulham, sorry. It's, they do play well, but they're just lacking something. It's probably because they're not starting Stefan Johansson. No, but then again, in Brighton, I don't... Well, if they want Shane Duffy back, you know, I know they're struggling at the back. I think Lewis Dunk's really needing him beside them. So I think if Shane Duffy goes back down, then yeah, they'll definitely survive. But how do I see this one going? 1-1. And who do I see going down? As much as I don't want them to, I do think it'll be Fulham. I just think it's lovely. It's lovely that they've got such a lovely manager, and they're putting together performances, but they're just not getting the wins. Not enough. It's just the consistency's not quite there. But yeah, that's my take on the worst game you could have came to me about.
I mean, it just there's more kind of riding on it than there is with a City versus West Brom or a United versus Sheffield United, but.
Yeah, I just meant the previous game, so I was like, oh. But anyway.
It was the luck of the draw. The luck of the draw, I'm afraid, Amy.
Luck of the draw.
It's because, see, if you made more appearances, then you might have gotten a better game.
Yeah, that's a good point. Oh. Can't go giving these part-timers. The
these jobbers.
That is me. I am just a part-timer. I just come when needed.
You can't even in the Energy Football Writers group chat without ever having written an article for Energy Sports.
That is me. I honestly, I said that, I think I said that to Sean. I just come on and create titles for every show. Like, I just
our Celtic source.
Okay, even then, that's failing me right now, so. You know, I'm just so busy being a big timer on a Celtic State of Mind, which you can't tune in.
No. No free promo. No free promo.
There we go. But a Wednesday for me.
Can't believe that. If you don't go and shout out everything at Energy Sport on that podcast now, then it's mundane. That is a completely mundane statement, and I'm not going to be happy about it.
Well, do.
You won't, but that's fine. Anyway, we'll come on to the final segment of the show, which is our Locked In 11. This is where we look at games we've mentioned, games we've not, and pick the 11 best players or some really decent options for you to get maximum points in your fantasy teams this weekend. Starting, as always, with goalkeepers and defenders, because they both get clean sheet points. Who are we backing to keep a clean sheet this weekend, Troops? I am saying Man United, probably, Fair estimate.
Yeah. City, United. Maybe Amy Chelsea.
Martinez.
Chelsea.
Amy Martinez. Yeah, Villa. Villa away to Burnley.
Yep.
I brought Tyrone Mings in this week. Football. I did bring Tyrone Mings in this week for Kurt Zouma, so hopefully Burnley don't score. But
could West Ham keep on against Palace, you reckon?
Maybe.
I don't know about that.
I wouldn't get rid of a West Ham defender for it.
Yeah, but
the same volition, I probably wouldn't bring one in.
Struan, I've got a question for you, actually. Does Luke Shaw continue to keep his, I think he's been playing very well recently, and I'm thinking about bringing him in, but, does Brandon Williams come in for a game against, like, Sheffield United and give Shaw a breather, or...
I think Tellers might play in this game, and sure. I actually thought Tellers would play against Liverpool in the FA Cup, but Shaw played in that. I thought he was playing Fulham, so I think Shaw's played 4 or 5 in a row, yeah. With Arsenal coming up at the weekend as well, I think he'll probably be prepared for that one. Right. So I'd imagine Alex Tellers will play, especially because although he touchwood seems to be over his injury issues, you never quite know with Luke Shaw. But yeah, actually, one of the highest successful cross rating defenders in the league this season, which is crazy.
Crazy, crazy indeed.
What about Lindelof? Do you think Lindelof and Maguire is a solid kind of centre half partnership? Then is that who's going to be?
I think Bailly might play in this game. He seems to favour Lindelof and Maguire against a really good opposition, and then against the teams where Man United are going to have more of the possession, it's more of a higher line with Eric Bailly in there.
I'm trying to find a United defender to put in.
Harry Maguire is probably the certain. He's made like 93 starts in the last year since he signed for United or something crazy like that. So he would be my pick. The other ones, I don't even know who the goalkeeper is going to be, because it could easily be Henderson or De Gea in this one.
It's tough. And then even City keeping clean sheets, they change defenders, they change outfits, honestly. It's a constant problem. Bet, yeah, he'll stay in my team. Ederson will stay in my team as well. Joao Cancelo, who will probably start at right back.
Yeah, Cancelo and Diaz should really be stars for me. I don't know. I mean, John Stones has been in excellent form, so I think, to be honest, if he doesn't go for Diaz and Stones, then the one of them can find themselves pretty unlucky, I think, not to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
The clean sheet play LeBron as well. Why on earth would you change the defence? You know, the defence.
He has been keeping defence more consistent recently, in fairness.
I don't know, because he made a couple of changes for that home game. He never played Cancelo, yeah. But Walker went off injured, actually, did he not? So Cancelo probably will.
Or was it Zinchenko came on and.
No, Cancelo came on for the first game, and he played the whole game in the second, so he definitely came on for a bit, because I think I had 1 point off him.
Right.
Anyway, moving up the pitch into midfield, biggest absence from this week is going to be Kevin De Bruyne, who's out for, 6 weeks or so?
Yeah, something like that.
Guessing that. Bruno Fernandes, a cert for this week, lads?
I think he has to be. I think if you've not got Fernandes in and you've got De Bruyne in, I think you've got to make that swap. I think that has to be who you bring in personally for a captain. I think the fixtures are quite tough this week, to be perfectly honest, about who to kind of captain. Apart from the kind of United players, like a home game against the team that's bottom of the league, like that's got to be an absolute cert for
that your banker. Thinking. That's your banker this week.
I think so. I think it has to.
Don't exist.
So Fernandes captain for me.
I think I might have to echo you on that. Amy, who's actually in your team? This is something that we need to figure out.
Let's not talk about my team. I have, in midfield, I'm pretty sure right now I'm kicking with Son, Grealish, Mane and McGinn. I think that's my midfield.
It's not that bad.
That's decent, horrendous. To be fair.
And then up top, I think I'm just going to skip the queue.
don't talk about skipping the queue, Amy. You know what happens.
We saw that. It's Kane, Bamford and Wilson. I did have Calvert-Lewin, but I remember taking Calvert-Lewin out when he got injured. So
a smart thing to do. In. There you go.
Yeah, see,
you don't get points from injured players. There you go.
Correct.
You've got KT in there as well. You might need to take him out if he's.
Oh, do I have Kane? I couldn't even tell you who my defenders are.
He did last week. Just looking at your team now.
Thanks for checking, Jamie. Update.
It's all right. Need to know what the opposition is.
Struan, who are you backing in midfield this week to do something?
I brought Raheem Sterling in for Kevin De Bruyne this week. I think he's probably going to start. I think they'll run over West Ham, to be honest. I've got Heung-Min Son in. I spoke earlier on about a fancy Tottenham to do something against Liverpool. And I've got Thomas Suchek, because I also fancy West Ham to get something against the pass. And I think Suchek is a very, very underrated player.
How much is he?
Not a bad guess. Yeah, he did have a pretty terrible return last week, though, for a double game week, which was disappointing. But I think he's scored every other week since then. So,
I think for like players under like the kind of under 9 or 10 million, he's got like the most points per million or something like that. Like he's the one of the best value for money midfielders in fantasy Premier League this year, which is basically what John Lundstrom was last year. Yeah.
Well, here we go. Here, I'll ask my question then. So if I bring him in, who do I... I'm not dropping Manny out of McGinn and Grealish. Because McGinn's obviously banned.
McGinn doesn't get you any points for fantasy, really. He doesn't really seem to be... Grealish is more like creative and attacking.
See if McGinn scores a hat-trick this week on your head, be it.
If McGinn scores a hat-trick this week, I'll go mental.
I don't know if
like
it was because he didn't feature in the last game. I don't know if that was suspension.
No, it was a ban. It was a suspension.
Oh, okay.
McGinn definitely.
I've got Suchek in my midfield. I've also got Captain Fernandez, so just riding Jamie's coattails with that one, clearly. Mm. And I've got Youri Tielemans, who was a pick-up for double game week. Off of Sean McGill's kind of thoughts of it, which was odd, me taking advice from McGill on fantasy. But he got 15 points. In the double game, across the double game, he got two assists against. Who the hell was it? Who did they play? Southampton, sorry. And then kept a clean sheet against Chelsea, so I get the wee extra point there. And I've also got Mason Mount, whose dad may have left, but I still think he'll feature a fair bit this season.
That's quite a big claim, yeah, without Lampard.
The
weekend, didn't
they? The Twitter content with Mason Mount and Lampard has been tremendous.
That Lampard had to state in an interview.
You keep bringing this up. This is, I'm convinced this is your favourite interview of all time. You keep bringing it up.
I love it. It's just so funny. You just never see it. That manager actually has to say that he's not my son. Nah, fair. Steve Bruce talking about bacon is the best Premier League.
How's the bacon? Did you see? Yeah, that was funny. Right, strikers. Who's getting goals this weekend?
United again, probably. I'm looking at.
Ah, but would you chuck a United striker in? Like,
know,
that's money.
I know. My team is a bit of a mess, actually.
Patrick Bamford.
No.
Oh, wait, Newcastle. Americans?
Exactly. Leeds have been poor, but I can see it happening.
Leeds have been poor. That's the thing. That's why I'd probably go Wilson over Bamford personally. I know you've got both, Amy, but
well, you know, I'm just
planning for every situation.
Southampton.
Ings. Danny Ings.
Well, is all that true? Like he's handed them he's going
to leave, apparently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's quite a shame.
Odd one.
I thought
odd
he had a very good relationship there with Harrison Hüttl. I thought he built a kind of.
Absolutely.
Maybe he does. Maybe it is a lot
maybe
of
looking at it
nonsense.
From the point this will be his last chance to get a move, he'll be 29 in the summer. No one's really going to want to pay big bucks for a 30-year-old next year. You know, this is a chance to get Champions League football, potentially. Which is crazy, because Fraser Forster is actually the highest earner at Southampton, which is...
That's mad.
Absolutely crazy.
That is crazy.
Oh.
He's kept three clean sheets this season against Arsenal and Liverpool, to name two.
It's not too shabby at all. I've got Wilson, I've got Antonio, and I've got Harry Kane. I think that's a fairly... fairly solid front three. Struan still get Timo Werner.
I might actually captain Ederson, because nobody really captains goalkeepers, and West Ham are not going to score past Man City. So
you keep saying West Ham, it's West Brom.
West Brom. Sorry, I'm so sorry. Oh no, that's very offensive.
You're making us look like Muppets here, Struan.
I'm thinking too much about my fan. I'm reading the players on my team right now. I'm getting mixed up. I don't think West Brom will score at all against Man City. But at the same time, I've predicted a 3-0 Chelsea win and Timo Werner to be involved in it. So,
who knows? Who actually knows? Jamie, who's going to get a goal this weekend? You've not thrown your hat in the ring with this conversation.
I don't know. My team's a mess, I have to say. Apart from, I've got one player playing at home, in my starting 11.
Do you?
The rest are playing away.
Okay, hell.
Ederson, Diaz and Foden obviously away to West Brom. Antonio, Cresswell away to Palace. Holding away to Southampton. Salah away to Tottenham. Lookman away to Brighton. Bamford away to Newcastle. Watkins away to Burnley. So, apart from Fernandes, everybody's playing away from home. So, I'm kind of struggling. I think I could have a bit of a shocker of a week. That's why I was asking about a defender, is because I was thinking about taking a 4-point hit and maybe bringing a Luke Shaw or something in for holding, because I think I might need the clean sheet points, because I'm not fancying my strikers this weekend, I have to say, or this week rather. I do think the Villa, West Brom and Leeds games will all be quite low scoring, so I'm like really kind of banking on the striker getting the goal, really, if they're going to do anything. So I'm hoping for a Fernandes masterclass and maybe Salah to do something against Tottenham.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see what transpires, and that is going to bring this episode of the Fantasy Ramble to an end. Thank you very much for listening. Make sure to subscribe to the Ramble wherever you get your podcast to make sure new episodes show up automatically on your feed, and follow us over on Twitter at Fantasy Ramble to see all of our host predictions for this game week's fixtures. Thank you very much to Struan, Jamie and Amy for joining me today. Be sure to check out the football roundup at the start of the week, extra time in the next couple of days, and then we'll be back again on Friday, this Friday coming. Two episodes of the Ramble in 1 week. What more could you ask for in a dour January where everyone's in lockdown? Nothing. I'll tell you that for free. Until we see you next time, my name is Jack Donnelly. This has been the Fantasy Ramble by Energy Sport. Thanks very much for listening, and we will see you next time.